may be seated. On February 3rd at 4 o'clock, we will begin our discipleship class on soul winning. On February 5th at 6:30, the ministry class begins. Now for the tithes and offering. Ushers, come, please come.
Lord, I want to thank you for bringing us all here together, Lord. Please, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. Please, Lord, bless all who have to give, Lord. Let's share them out, Lord. Please, Lord, bless the remainder of the serving, Lord, service, Lord. Those who are playing the music, Lord. Those who are making testimonies, Lord. Those who are preaching tonight, Lord. Please, Lord, just bless everyone here, Lord. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Many different religions have their rituals of praying and worshiping and serving their God. And anybody who knows the truth of God and knows that when Jesus says he is the only way, then they know that to be fact and take it into account in their own lives. And Jesus tells us how to pray. He gives us an example in Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Jesus says, When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner streets, and that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they speak that they may be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Even though he knows what we need before we ask him, he still says to ask and we shall receive. Ask in faith, believing.
Hello, and welcome to Prayer Seminar 101.
Sorry, can you rest out a little?
Thank you. Okay, you guys are going to learn how to pray a little bit more like me. You guys can take your seats, and we'll start out with your names, starting with this man right here.
Father God, yes! Father God, yes! Caitlin,
okay, nice to meet you. Wow, moving on.
Well, I'm not the one to gossip or anything, but while I'm here trying to grow in my spiritual life, Johnny's out there being all worldly with Heather. I'm Bethany.
My name is, like, Ashley, but my friends call me Gone with the Wind.
Mine's Ben.
Oh, Lord Jesus! Thank you for bringing me here today! I am master, usher, preacher, prophet, nursery coordinator, Ricky.
Okay. Ricky. Oh, wow. Okay. Today, you guys, we're going to start a session out by having a sweet but short individual prayer. See, I need to see where you guys are in your prayer lives. And we're going to start out with this young man right here again.
Father God, yes. Father God, yes. Haley.
Now, we're going to do it individual prayer this time.
Oh, okay, in that case. Father God, yes. Father God, Father God, yes. Amen.
Okay, got a lot of work to do with you. Okay, moving on.
Well, God, I just pray that you keep Johnny safe from Heather, who's out there like roaring, lying, seeking whom she may devour, which is me. Amen.
God, you are like a tree and like the rain and a rainbow. And God, you are just so God. And here, and it's finished.
God is great. God is good.
Let us thank him for our food.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we gather here today to reminisce. Thank you for creating the sun, the stars, the heavens, the earth. Thank you for creating me and my beautiful face.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Okay. Today I'm going to give you guys a few pointers on praying since you want to learn how to pray like me. Okay, Caitlin, you don't need to... to keep repeating yourself over and over again. God knows his name very well. You don't have to keep doing that. Just keep in touch with God and pray a little better. Sorry, again. And Bethany, you're not the one to gossip or anything, but you are. Okay. I don't care what Heather or whatever name is doing out there. Praying is about you praying about your own problems. God knows what Heather and Johnny are doing. You don't have to tell them. And Ashley... I don't have anything really to say about that. and Ben, you're so shy. You need to step out of that bubble. Get out of your comfort zone and stop with the nursery rhyme prayers. Just be more mature in your spirituality. And Reverend, Deacon, Bishop, whatever.
Nursery coordinator!
See, this is a praying seminar, not a preaching seminar. This is not you preaching in front of everybody. This is you praying in front of God. Just keep that in mind. And, okay, we're going to start this over again, and maybe you'll be a little better. We're going to try this one more time, starting with him.
Father God, yes. Father God, Father God, yes.
Well,
Father,
you know,
God,
I'm not going to gossip or anything, but this guy is really annoying. Does he not know anything?
Oh, Lord Jesus! Thank you for praying!
Stop!
Don't be embarrassed whenever you pray, because God knows what's in your heart.
God wants you to worry about the plank in your own eye before you worry about the speck in your brother's.
Don't get all caught up in the emotional aspect, but seek the truth of God.
And then you will know how to pray.
Scared, and this is like my first time playing in front of a lot of people, so you're just gonna have to bear with me, and I will probably mess up, so just everybody stand up. It's kind of awkward you all sitting down. Thank you. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Not bragging or nothing, but I'm kind of a happy little mama. It's been kind of a very interesting day. I've been on kind of a roller coaster ride between the tears and the fear and you name it. And I was in my room before we came, and I was just crying, and I don't even like roller coasters. I'm not a fear person. I don't like to be scared. But she comes in there, and she just hugs me, and I'm like, okay, I'm the parent here. I'm supposed to be comforting her, but she's comforting me. So, you know, I'm very proud of her, but I'm very proud of all of our youth. I mean, our youth are amazing. They work so hard, and they're kind of like me. They like to have things done just right, so they practice and practice and practice. And, you know, we've got 11-year-olds up here playing the bass, and, you know, it goes all the way up to our 18-year-olds. So it doesn't matter what age you are. God can use you. But I'm going to tell you, there is something about a pure innocence of love of God. And when these kids get up here and they're worshiping, they ain't nothing will tickle your heart any better than to see that. So, you know, it's an awesome thing. So tonight, though, we're going to do something a little bit different. We've got some testimonies, and I wanted to give each student an opportunity that wanted to give a testimony, and then I've asked some others too, and it'll all tie into my sermon, I hope. So first, I'm going to start out with Austin.
I just want to thank God for what He's done and what He's going to do. And a couple months back, well, not months, like, yeah, months, whatever. And we're doing this 40-day fast. And we went to this camp up in Lake Okeechobee. Well, some of y'all that were at camp probably heard me say this. And we went, and I was just sitting there. Yeah, sitting there, and God told me that He spoke to me, and He said, I'm going to do something really good for you on this thing, and, well, a church camp thing, and on, like, the last day, I'm sitting there waiting, and then He spoke to me then. He's like, here you go, take this, and He gave me the gift of tongues, and yeah.
Caleb Logan.
I was just going to say how lucky I am to be at a church that I have so many praying and loving people here, and how great our youth is doing back there. I mean, we have our own worship team, and Miss Chrissy's doing a lot of sermons to us, and we're learning lots of stuff. And last week she was talking about temptations, and the memory verse was in Matthew 26:41, and it said, watch and pray that you not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And it's just saying, don't fall into temptations of the world. It would grasp you, but with God you would get out of all that stuff.
Shelby.
Okay, well, I just want to thank God for all He's doing. And you probably all know I'm homeschooled. And I was faced with that decision my eighth grade year. And, you know, I got a lot of negative, you know, comments and stuff about that from teachers and from my friends. And I just want to thank God, because I was able to stand on my decision, and I was able to have peace during that time. And I wasn't, what my friends told me, I didn't, you know, worry about that I was going to be much better. And so, you know, I didn't want to put myself around the high school because of all the things that were going on. And so I stood on that, and, you know, I'm homeschooled, and I've been able to really deepen my relationship with God because, you know, I'm not surrounded by my friends and things like that. And I look on Facebook, and, you know, I lost all my friends. I had to give up soccer, and I had to give up cheerleading, and I loved doing that. And so I lost all my friends, and I see on Facebook what they're doing and how they become, and, you know, I just thank God that I didn't become like that, and I don't have to surround myself with that. And so, you know, while I'm being homeschooled, I was able to go on a missions trip last year to Mexico. You know, I've been learning the piano, and I've just really been able to go deeper in my relationship with God, and I just thank him for that, and I'm ready to see what he has ahead. So, thank you.
I want to thank God for what he's done in my life and what he's kept me from. Like Shelby, I'm homeschooled, and I look around at the kids my age and what they've been doing and what they're in, and I thank God for protecting me from all of that. He's never left me. No matter what I've faced, he's always been there, and I want to thank him for it.
Ryan's back there hiding. Ryan, come forth.
Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for just everything he's doing for me, and just like how all our youth's been so, you're just strong. You're able to resist the temptations. It's crazy how this world tests your morals, and it happens just to every one of us, and it sucks. Well, I just go back to like when I was little. Like, I loved the Bible. I loved to read it. Like, I used to think it was crazy, like how people's lives, just everything, just like set out. And how, like, it's real life. It was kingdoms, and it was wars, and it was giants and stuff. I just love that kind of stuff. And I thought, like, how other people would want to read about that. I mean, it's pretty cool. And God just, like, set me apart from other people, and it was hard on me. I mean, like, I don't even know how I'm doing this right now. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Well, I just want to thank God. I've been strong enough to resist the temptations and stuff the world has been tempting me with. I mean, I have a best friend, or I had one when I was fifth grade. He's not really a friend for me anymore. I mean, like, he hits up acid and stuff at school, and it's crazy. And I just thank God that I don't want to be like that. I just don't want to be like him. Thank God. I want to be set apart and be a missionary when I grow up.
Well, before I get into anything, first I want to read this scripture real quick that God spoke to me about. It's Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Reason I read this is when Miss Christy asked me to give a testimony. Well, originally it was supposed to be a sermon, but I don't know. I was lukewarm. I'm not gonna lie, I was stagnant in Christ. I couldn't in services. I could feel God moving, but I couldn't push through that wall that was right in front of me. And when Miss Christy asked me to speak, I went home and I just cried and prayed. Got down on my knees. And God spoke. He did speak, do a lot of speaking. Told me, you can't keep looking for handouts. During altar calls and whatnot, I'd find myself just, God, I need you now. But I wouldn't get deep. I wouldn't say anything deep. I'd say, just send the preacher over here to pray for me. Let me cry a little bit. It wasn't true meaning anything. And when I was reading, I remembered this scripture. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. It stuck with me. It's sticking with me. I wanted to rekindle my fire that I got last year and youth camp. Another thing, I've been studying these past couple weeks about how not to become lukewarm. And the thing I got was intimacy with God. Intimacy. You got to pray every day. You got to read the word every day. You got to seek his face. You got to sing, praise, worship, all that. That's all I got. Yeah.
That was really good. Yeah, me crying. Okay, so I want to do something. I've asked some people to give testimonies, and, you know, I kind of figured, since I got to stand up here and be scared out of my mind, I might as well get some other folks on board with me. So I was kind of, well, I was praying, and I was like, Lord, you know, I wanted everything to tie together. I knew the direction God had given me, but, you know, I just kind of really didn't know how it was all going to piece together. Still kind of really don't know, so we'll just fly with that. But the first person I would like to come up is, and this will be adults that I'll be calling. The first person I would like to come up is Rebecca.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Christy came to me a couple weeks ago and asked that we share something that we've been going through or something that we've dealt with that God's been helping us with. And, of course, I had 50 things go through my mind, and I thought, man, how screwed up is that, that I can think of 50 things that I have going on that's wrong. But the one thing that really stuck out was my issue I have with self-worth. I don't know. I know a lot of people face that, but I grew up with this mentality that, you know, I wasn't as good as the next person, or I didn't have as much talent as this person, or I couldn't sing as well as this person, and I grew up with that less mentality, like I meant less to God because I didn't have these things. And God is really, like, even as an adult, God has been dealing with me saying, you know, why in the world would I send my son to die on a cross for someone who was less? You meant something to me. And because you meant something to me, you're worth something. So the next time that you feel like, hey, I'm not worth as much as this person, just remember that God died for you, the world. When he said the world, that's a plural thing, not a single thing, not this person, that person. He didn't pick and choose. He said the world. So just remember that the next time you start feeling that way. Y'all have a good night.
Jennifer.
This is the first time for me getting up in front of people, but I want to thank Christy for letting me step out of my comfort zone, because if it wasn't for her, I probably wouldn't be up here. My family has really been blessed since we've been coming here. Even my kids have stepped out and done things. I have probably a long list of testimonies, but the biggest one that stuck out for me was that God, years back, delivered me from drugs and alcohol. And I just thank God for that, because there was times where I had my kids in the car with me because I was so bad on drugs that I had to get that high. And I thank God that he brought me through that, because I can't even count on my hands right now the times that God has had grace on me, because I have my kids, they could have gotten taken away. I could be in prison or jail right now. And I just thank God that he brought me through that. I've been stopped before by police and had drugs on me. And I thank God that I'm not in that anymore, and that God's allowing me to hopefully show me my gifting and calling. And I thank you that I'm here at this church, and that hopefully I'll be shown what my calling is.
Okay, so I had a couple of other ones that we're going to give, but I kind of put Brother Bobby on the spot. Sorry. So, Brother Bobby, would you mind?
but she couldn't find one. There's a mosquito flying around in the church. Anybody feel free to lunge after him? I have tried two or three times and not got him. I'm not out of my comfort zone here. I mean, I'm well within it, but I'm going to try and put the wool back and just give you two short testimonies. One was a young man that was unsaved, that had a little bit of a reputation pretending to be something and running with a crowd that I was satisfied and happy as long as I was with the crowd. But I had some praying sisters that must have had an impact with the knowledge that there was a God that somewhere in time I would have to deal with. I would have to face. I would have to reason with. The sinner boy would go home at night after doing all kind of foolish stuff, intoxicated, and even risking my life under the influence. If you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. But when I would get home at night and I would lay down on my bed, I would have this fear that would come over me, Brother Jerry, and a sinner boy would begin to pray, God, just let me fall asleep. Don't let me die before morning. Just let me get through this night. And night after night after night, the reason why I'm saying that, all they did such a tremendous job, the young people, just an outstanding job, were people that were in church, but they really weren't in Christ. They had a religious aura, but they didn't have a relationship with the Lord. And what you've got to be careful, because you can be in church and still not be in Christ and still not have the peace, and you can feel like I felt as a pretender, pretending to be something, and even people thinking you're something, but in your heart, you know what you really are. You're a make-believe, you're a pretense, you're a fabrication. And the wonderful thing about authentic life church is what we want to be is authentic. Not perfect, just authentic, just real. And one other quick testimony, and it's just overbearing. About a year or two after I had been saved, I backslid, was out in the world, and the person is here. Thank God that God loves us enough to put people in our lives to help keep us corralled in Christ, to keep us where we belong. I'll never forget backslidden. When you're a backslider, the one thing you do not want to do, you don't want to get around real people. You don't want to get around real Christians. And I remember one Sunday, I had my cold-hearted self all set up to go fishing at Lake Jackson on a Sunday afternoon. And over at Robert and Joanne's house, Brother Glenn and Sister Carolyn Mullins was there. And you'd have to know Sister Mullins. She's as real can be. And she is not worried about what you think about the truth. And I'll never forget sitting there, and she said, hello, Brother Bobby. And I would rather be anywhere in the world than right here. Hello, Sister Carolyn. Where are you going? Fishing. And she spoke these words. And the thing about real people is when they say things to you, it hits home. And she said, I don't know if she even remembers this, but she said, what will you do on the boat while you're fishing this Sunday afternoon if Jesus comes back today? But she said it with this real tone, and I'm telling you, it hit home. And it wasn't too long after that, there at Otter Creek Church, I found myself back at an altar getting renewed in Christ. There's something to be said. It ain't perfect. It ain't always, you know, peaches and cream. But there's something to be said about the peace of God and being real. I thank God tonight that I'm a real Christian. Not perfect, but I've been born again. Nobody can take that from me. God bless you tonight.
All right. Thank y'all all for doing that. So my point tonight is, you know, as you've heard so far, everybody that's in here has been able to give a testimony for something that has happened in their past, something that they have overcome. So I'm gonna take y'all back a little ways. We're gonna go through some history. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. We're gonna talk about in Genesis when man and woman were first created. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve, she was deceived by the serpent. We all know the story. She was deceived. This is man and woman. This is the first man and woman. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, okay. Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam fell into peer pressure. Peer pressure is when someone, a person talks you into doing something and entices you a little bit. And so Adam fell into peer pressure, and there was only one other person. So how are we feeling that we're exempt from peer pressure when you have this world around you that is full of pressures? So then, even though, and testimonies, we always like to talk about the valley that we went through, the hard time that we went through, but also the most wonderful thing of a testimony is the victory. That's when you overcome it. So here's the thing. Even though there were consequences, we all know that Adam and Eve obviously had terrible consequences that, we still get to feel those today. But God did not just kill them. He didn't just take his hand from them. He didn't just say, I'm done with you. Actually, if you'll read on, it talks about God actually clothed them. He gave them clothes. He helped them to establish. And then he allowed them to create. They started mankind. They had children. So even though we make mistakes, we might give in to that peer pressure, it doesn't mean that God just says, I'm done with you. No, it don't. So then my next story, and I've got a few, so y'all bear with me because I'm building here. Genesis 37, and I'm just going to read two scriptures from that, verse 4 and 28. We're going to talk about some jealousy and some rejection. Anybody deal with jealousy and rejection? All right. Yes. Genesis 37. Okay, so verse 4. It says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Okay, this is talking about Joseph, yes. So then when you go over to verse 28, it says, then there passed the Midianites merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. I mean, so we're still in the beginning of the Bible, right? There was already jealousy, some hatred. Poor Joseph. I mean, he was this excited, young, vibrant, excited about the dreams that the Lord's been giving him. And he's just, he's just wanting everybody to hear it. And he can't contain it. And they're jealous. And they start pitting against him to the point they threw him in a well. They were going to kill him. Luckily, he had another brother that stood up for him. But they were going to kill him. And then they sold him. They sold him. Just get rid of him. And then they're going to go run and tell their dad, hey, he's dead, to get him out, to get him so the father don't go looking for him. So, but then, again, Joseph, he didn't do anything wrong. He really didn't. But there was the rejection. There was the hatred. There was, all these things that his brothers, put upon him. But throughout Joseph's life, God always showed him favor. He always protected him. He never lifted his hand from him. And, we're gonna face rejection. We're going to face judgment. That's how the world works. Young people, if you're not making people upset and uncomfortable, you're not doing something right. Because from what I have learned from, since I've been saved, when you are doing the right thing for the Lord, you will make people uncomfortable because it makes them check their self. So be prepared for your rejection to come and be thankful, because as long as you are standing firm for God, he will never lift his hand from you and favor will always fall upon you. Okay, so my next scripture, we're going to talk about the woman at the well. John 4:17 and 18.
mark my little places so I'm not scrambling. Well, it's John 4, 17 and 18. And then we'll go over to verse 39. I tried to narrow the verses down. All right. So the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. And then if you go over to verse 39, it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So, maybe I look at this a little bit differently than some. So, you know, this is my opinion. You know, I didn't see anywhere where it said that she left her husband's. I didn't see that. It doesn't, I didn't, maybe y'all found it. But I didn't see where it said that they left her or she left him. There really wasn't, you know, a lot about that. It just says she had been married five times and the man that she was with now wasn't even her husband. So she was living in adultery. Well, from personal experiences of dealing with self-image myself and trying to fulfill that issues of self-image and self-esteem, you look for those things in the wrong places. And I believe that after you've been divorced time and time and time again, regardless to whose fault it was and who left who, she was probably dealing with a lot of self-esteem issues and probably a lot of self-image issues, because after one time and another time and another time, yes, she was looking for love in the wrong places, because her love was to come from God. She did find it. But here was my favorite part. The word of her testimony. Her past. God took her most weakest thing and took that and turned it for something great. And it said, and many believed. So don't, just because we have a past, just because we make a mistake, when you find that true love, when you find that void that becomes filled in your heart, because the Lord just will take that emptiness and fill it, and you won't struggle with the self-esteem. You won't, I mean, okay, maybe you'll struggle with certain things, but it won't be the same. You won't be looking for that, because let me tell you, young girls and young guys, there is no man or woman, no boy or girl that is on this earth that will fulfill you in the way that God's love will fulfill you. There is nobody, no friends, no nothing. And if that's where you're looking for it, if that's where you're trying to fulfill your self-esteem, fulfill this, I need to be accepted, you're going to fall on your face. And you're going to be just like the woman at the well, time and time and time again. But for those that have made those mistakes, accept Christ. Let him fill your heart with a love that nobody can fulfill. And use that. Let that be your testimony to go and reach other people. Because your mouth is the greatest tool that you have to win lost souls. So then my other story is Saul/Paul. I never figured out why they changed their names to confuse me, I guess. But if you'll go to Acts chapter 9, verse 4 first, and then we'll go to 13 and 15. Says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? So 13 through 15. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, I love this part, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You know, Saul/Paul, he did some rotten things. I mean, he come against Christians. He was just
probably not a real nice person. Quite frankly, as a Christian, you'd be pretty scared to get in his path, you know. But I guess this is where, you know, it really hits home that, you know, the Lord has a purpose for all of us, even when we are floundering around in our sin and when we're floundering around in that darkness. He still has a purpose for you. And the thing that really stands out to me with Paul, and we did a study on this in Bible study, and Paul was just, he just got on fire. And it didn't matter. It was like he went from one extreme to another. And the most awesome thing is, if we could have half of the boldness that he had, and when people would come after him, he would just stand firm. He did not move. But he had a past. Paul had a past. And if you'll read, you'll see, man, them people used Paul's past. They would throw his past up in his face. I'm going to tell you something. If you got a past, that's what is going to happen. It's going to come back. It's going to come back in your face, because that's what the devil wants. I tell our students all the time, if you're running a race, if you turn around and if you're running full blast and you turn around and you look back, guess what's going to happen? You're going to fall. If you look to each side, you might not fall, but you'll slow down. And we are in a race. We're in a race, because I don't know if y'all have turned your TV on lately or turned on Facebook. Yep. We're very few. I have been so disturbed this week. There is over 9 girls pregnant at the high school. And what disturbs me the most is all the other girls are so excited about it. And then a girl says, well, my mom's not going to let me keep it. I need to have an abortion. And they support that too. The thing is, it's kind of like bacteria. When it begins to spread, it's really hard to get rid of it. And it is very sad, because this is our generation. This is what's coming up in front of us. And I'm going to tell you, we need to set a foundation for these young people. And we need to create some rock solid young people. And not only that, as elders in the church, your duty ain't over. Because just like the young people have got challenges in front of them and they got to step it up a little bit harder, so do you. Because they need you. And, you know, and then my last little story is about Jesus, the greatest story of all. So many times we get there and we start feeling sorry for ourselves about what we're going through. And let me tell you, I am a woe is me. I get in my little room and I boo-hoo and I can't think of nothing else, because it's just, I feel like everything's going wrong and why is all this happening to me? And I don't. Yeah. And then the Lord will quicken me. Get out of your self-pity. Pick up your britches, put your big girl pants on, and it's time to go. We got to move forward, and you got to keep stepping, because he then reminds me he has never left me. He has never let me fall. Yes, I felt like my rope might have been getting real thin. I might have been on a single thread, but he never let me fall. And we have been, this past 2012 was one of the most hardest years that I believe that our family has ever gone through. But I am so thankful that we are in 2013, because that means I was victorious. And I come through. I come through. And, you know, but my sermon tonight, my point tonight, with adding all this all the way back to man and woman, sometimes we feel very isolated in our problems. Sometimes Shelby may feel like she is the only girl that understands. She is the only person going through the rejection, the only person that's had to give up friends. But maybe Shelby didn't realize that there might be an elder or an older person in this church that understands that, that went through that. Maybe Tyler
felt like he was the only person, and I'm going to tell you, he might have felt like he was the only one with a wall, but I'm going to tell you something, there's probably 95% of us that's had that wall and know exactly what that means to have to push through and break that wall. And my point is that we have all gone through things. We are all still going through things. But the greatest thing is our victory and the testimony that comes from that victory. But God put us together as a church body. He put us together. He knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly what he was doing. And if I have a particular illness, if I have a sickness in my body, I probably would not go to an eye doctor. I probably would not go to a nurse. I would probably want to go to somebody that specializes in that particular illness. If I wanted to build a house, I would not call a plumber to build my house. I would call a contractor, somebody that knows all the details of building my house. So, especially young people, but I don't believe this is a message just for young people. When you are going through things, why would you go to somebody that has no clue? Why would you go to somebody that has never been victorious? Why would you reach out to somebody in this world that does not have the godly values and godly morals? Because let me tell you something. When you come down to asking questions about what you should or shouldn't do, if you go outside of these church walls and you go out into your schools and you go out into your workplaces, the results that you will get probably will not line up with this. And that is the importance of why God has put us all together. We are a body. And just because you hit 50 years old, just because you hit, my poor daddy in the back, 83, your job is not finished. And young people, maybe they do have it a little bit harder than we did. They're exposed to so much more. But I was raised by my grandparents, and which thank the Lord for their heart. But I remember growing up, and with my mom, she was the most godly example of a woman that I have ever known, ever. But I remember growing up saying, I can't go to her. I can't talk to her about things. I mean, they didn't even have boyfriend and girlfriends back when they were in school. You know? I mean, how does she know? You know? But I'm going to tell you, as I got older, and I started realizing maybe she didn't have boyfriends and girlfriends, but she definitely realized the importance of a solid ground in marriage. And she realized the importance and told me the importance that there is no way out. You're in it. You're in it forever. The deed don't happen. But those are things that when I was 15 years old, I didn't appreciate. And I'm here to say tonight, Maybe your parent might not be the perfect person to go talk to. Maybe Sister Tammy can't go and talk to Meemaw about something. But there may be things that Heather's going through, and Sister Tammy can be right there to support her. There may be things that Shelby's going through that Rebecca can support her. You don't have to be a part of the youth group. You don't have to be a part of the children's church. You don't have to be a part of any particular area to reach out. Because the thing is, if my daughter is in this altar and she is crying out and asking God for direction and asking God for courage and for boldness, I want somebody to stand behind her. And I want somebody that understands it. And I want somebody that can be there and be that person that will just not give up until she receives that victory of that. Those are the kind of people that I want to be with. Those are the kind of people, that's the kind of person I want to be. I don't want to be that person that when Mariah's going through something that I'm just like, oh yeah, okay. Absolutely not. I don't want to be that person. I want to be that person that will bleed my heart out in this altar. I want to be that person that will stand firm for our kids. but also too, yeah, Meemaw might be a little bit older than me, but there may still be things I can relate to with her. There may be things that I've lost three mothers. Can you believe that? Three mothers in a lifetime. I lost my grandmother that raised me. That was my mother. I lost my biological mother. And I lost John's mother, which might as well have been my mother. Three mothers. That's a lot of hurt. But you may not lose your mother until you're 50. You know, you just don't know. But just because you have an age there does not mean that somebody younger hasn't gone through that. Because now when somebody loses a family member, I can honestly say, I know what you're going through. But at the other same note there is, I know how to overcome it. Because I know, yes, we cry, we're sad. But man, I am so thankful for the peace and the satisfaction of knowing right where they're at. Because that is what helps keep me going. So I am victorious. I am victorious over that. Something in back in Genesis where it talked about Joseph, Joseph had said at the end, he told his brothers, he says, for what you meant for bad, God made for good. And that's exactly the truth. Because the devil will try and take the things that you've gone through, the things that you're going through, and say, you can't do it, you can't do it. And it don't matter how strong of a Christian you are, because all day long, I have heard that little voice in my head saying, you're going to fail. You are a failure. You are not qualified. And you know what I did? I went in there, and I prayed, and I said, God, you didn't call me. You didn't call me because I had it all figured out. You didn't call me because I'm the super smart one. You didn't call me because I didn't make mistakes. You didn't call me because I'm perfect. You called me because I'm obedient. You called me because I have a heart to see messages penetrate into the hearts of not just our young people. There is nothing like sitting there and being preached to. Because when you are being preached to, that means there are still things that the Lord ain't done with you yet. That means there are still things that you need to work on. And I'm going to tell you, maybe I'm wrong, but I would believe that there's every single person in this place that still has things that you need to work on. We are not perfect. So I just, you know, once you realize that God has not put us here to go through things alone, I think at that point, especially, you know, maybe the young people a little bit more. But I think that once you realize that and you accept that, you'll want the help of others. You'll see the importance of those that are more mature around you. You'll see the importance of those that have conquered things. Because if I'm going to be victorious in what I'm going through, I want to go to somebody that's already had the victory. I don't want to go to somebody that's failed. Because that's the only direction that you're going to be able to get out. If you go to somebody that just keeps falling into it and falling into it and falling into it, you're just going to keep going. As I call it, you're going to keep circling the mountain, keep circling the mountain. If you want to get to the top of the mountain, find somebody that's been there. Somebody that can go with you. That's right. So tonight, I just want to do something a little bit different, since we're all about different tonight. I've been struggling. I didn't really know the direction, you know, that God wanted. I kind of had it in my head, but texted Pastor yesterday, and I said, every time I keep reading this, it changes. And, you know, I didn't know. I just finally today, I said, Lord, you know, I'm just not going to read it anymore. I'm just going to let you go with this. And, you know, I prepared, and I believe God wants us to prepare. I don't believe he wants lazy people that can just think they get up and wing it. I think he wants us to be prepared. But I think also, too, we're not supposed to be so prepared that we're not willing to be obedient to the direction if it needs to change. So tonight is our youth night, and it is about our youth. And I'm going to tell you, we have got some amazing young people in this church. And we have got a church that is going places.
we have got a church of young people that want to make a difference in this world. And I'm going to tell you, I see churches all over the place. They don't have that. And that's sad. It's sad. When you have 50 to 100 youth in a place, and they're not there for the right reasons. They go out and they live just like the world. It's really sad. It's really sad. But it really excites me to see our kids, because they do want to make that difference. They don't go out. Maybe they make mistakes, okay? We all do. But tonight I want to show our young people the importance of having the elders. And I say elders. I'm talking about anybody that's over the age of 18, 20. Somebody that's been there, done that, and that's conquered things. And if you are a young person, or if you're anybody, and you're struggling through something, and you can't seem to conquer it, I would like to give you an opportunity to come to the front. And I would also like for our church support system to back them up. I did a thing, and this was where my sermon first started, and it was about restoring an old home. I love houses. I'm a realtor, but we remodel homes. And you look into why people restore older homes. Why would you not just tear it down and build a new one? The older homes have the foundation. They have the structure. If you've ever tried to nail a hammer in a 2x4 on an older home, you'll be there a while. You tried on a brand new 2x4? I feel real strong because I can hit it in about 2 hits. There's something about the older homes. There's the structure. There's character in your older homes. But with that being said, they also need new things, because you can revamp an older home and still keep the bones of the home, still keep the foundation, but you can put in some luxury items, laundry room, nicer things, energy efficient stuff. But it's just like in our church, those that have been through things, your elders of the church, that is your foundation. Elders, you're important. You're very important in the church. You are the foundation. You offer wisdom. You offer experience. You offer victory. Your testimony is what helps keep our young people encouraged. But also, too, the young people, you have something to offer, too. Because when you've been there and done that a long time, you get tired. You get weary. The young people come in and they're vibrant and they're full of fire and full of energy. Combine the two together. Combine the two together, because that is what makes the church. So I just ask you tonight, if you're going through something, if you would and you want, because here's the thing, we can all go through something. We can all stay going through something. If you're going through something and you want victory, because you have to want it, I challenge you to come forward. Come to the altars. Is done and that your job is pointless. These people up in this altar, these young people, they need you. They need your support. They need your prayers. So I challenge you to come forward and to pray with these young people.
doesn't amount to. If my life doesn't show how much I